The reading this morning is from 1 Kings, chapter 17, verses 7 to 16. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to it, he called, And bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, Don't be afraid, go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, The jar of the flour will not be used up, and the jug of the oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of the flour was not used up, and the jar of the oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah.
There was a man at an airport and he wanted to buy a bag of very small donuts and a coffee. So he buys his bag of small donuts and he buys his coffee and he's looking for somewhere to sit. But all the tables are all taken. But there's one table where there's one man sitting and he thinks, oh, I'll just go and sit opposite him. So he goes there, he puts his coffee down, he puts his bags down, he gets his coat off, puts it on the chair, sits down. Opens his coffee, has a sip, picks up the bag of donuts, opens it, takes out a donut, starts eating it, puts the bag down. The man opposite stretches over, picks up the bag of donuts, opens it, takes out a donut, starts eating it, puts the bag down, smiles. The other man cannot believe what he has just seen. He cannot believe that the man has just stolen one of his donuts. He's thinking, what is the world coming to? What is the world? But then he thinks, well, maybe, you know, the guy's not quite there, or, you know, he better not say anything in case the guy kind of erupts and he's violent. But he gives him one of these, if looks could kill look. He picks up the bag of donuts, he takes out another donut and he moves it near to his coffee, as far away from the other man. While he's sipping his coffee, the man stretches over, picks up the bag, takes out another donut, starts eating it, puts it on the table, pushes it back, smiles. The other guy can't believe it. He's done it twice. He's stolen two of my donuts. He's amazed. He can't believe it. He's really angry, but he decides not to say anything. Anyway, the man gets up to leave. So the other man thinks it's about time you left, you donut thief. He put his coat on, he picked up his bag, he then picked up the bag of donuts. There's one donut inside. He takes it out, he breaks it in half, he puts half in his mouth, puts half on the bag, he moves the bag, he smiles, he waves, off he goes. The other guy thinks, I'm not touching that donut, you donut thief. You're probably full of infection. Anyway, he looks at his watch. Oh, it's time for me to go. He gets up. He puts his coat on. He then bends down to pick up his bag. And sitting on top of his bag was his bag of donuts. He was complaining that the other man was stealing his donuts when in fact the other man was sharing his donuts. Now, listen to me. God owns all the donuts. we're complaining. We're complaining, and God owns all of them. He owns all the donuts. Listen, every week we get a bag of donuts. God gives us a bag of donuts every week. Inside there are 10. God says, take one of the 10 and give it to the church that you go to. Okay, that's called tithing. Okay? So, you give a donut to the church that you go to. Right? They're God's donuts, so don't complain. They're all God's donuts. He just says, give one to the church that you're part of. So important, isn't it? Yeah, that now you're left with 9 and you need 11. Hey, I need 11 and I've just given one away. I've only got 9. And what is incredible is if you need 11 or you need 12, somehow the 9 becomes 12. Somehow the 9 becomes what you need. Honestly, a lot of people in Britain haven't heard the Sermon on the Mount. They haven't. Honestly, a lot of British Christians squeeze the pound so tightly they make the Queen cry. You got 10 donuts. God says, give a donut to the church that you go to. You've got 9 now. See? 9. Some of us need more, and it either stretches or somebody comes along and says, could I give you 2 donuts? And you say, oh, yes, please. Now, some of us got 10 donuts. We give 1 to the church. Now we're left with 9. And we don't need 9. There are many people here, I would say thousands of us here, that do need, we need 11. But I would reckon there are thousands of us here who don't even need 9. And so what does God say? Right, I want you to give a donut to Joyce Myers so that she can go on TV every day. So you give one of your donuts and you become a monthly supporter. Yeah? And then something else happens. You know, there's a need or this orphanage or compassion or world vision. And you think, oh yeah. And God says, give a donut. Listen, we all get the quiver in the liver. And you and I cannot outgive God. And when you act on it, he responds. So what we've got to do is to say, Lord, they're all your donuts. What do you want me to do with them? What do you want me to do with them? And if you've got a spare donut, give it to me. I'll have it.
Well, J. John talking about giving in a way that only J. John can, really, in the stories he tells, with such humour to make such points, modern-day parables.
So we're talking about giving today. We're talking about unordinary generosity, and it's our harvest. So later we're going to be collecting for Food Bank, and we've got many people here, I know, that support Food Bank in different ways. We've got people that work for the Food Bank and give their time and volunteer their time. Many of you support it regularly anyway through buying extra food. And as a trustee of the Food Bank, I can tell you that it's an increased need year on year. Food Bank is not in decline at all. The need in certainly the Chichester one, which serves Chichester and a few of the towns and in the region, is increasing year on year. That's just really sad, but it's the truth. And also, as one of the church leaders in Chichester, who works with the other churches to try and respond to the homeless situation in Chichester, that too is increasing. We've seen sort of 100% growth in homeless people in the last couple of months in Chichester and on the counts. And the government don't have the answer. They generally don't have the answer to it. I mean, they're part of the solution, but they're not the full solution. And the church is called by God to be generous. And I think what J. John talks about in his little talk there is unordinary generosity. You see, society tells us what you've got is yours, keep it. That's just the way. It says you've got it, you earned it, you worked hard for it, it's yours, so keep it. And what we see in that the story illustrated by our young people, read out by Jackie, and the illustration that Jay John shared is actually, it's not yours in the first place. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything in it is his. So what you think is yours and you've earned and worked really hard for is not yours anyway. The Bible says it's his. It's just on loan to you. And as Jay John was explaining in that talk, every now and again, he says, give some of it away. And as we have harvest today, we're going to be doing that. And part of the way we're going to respond to today's talk is to bring up our harvest offerings, to put them on a table and say, we have an excess and we're going to give out of our what we have so that those that don't have can be blessed. Later today, this evening, in fact, we're going to, those of people that are interested, there's an opportunity to gather here and have a briefing on healing on the streets. And I've looked at the notice sheet. It says 7:30. So it's 7:30 start here. 7:30, a healing on the streets. Why are we doing that? Why can I encourage you to come? Because it's this. Freely you've received, so freely give. Freely give. God gave the very best to you. He held nothing back. Everything he had, the best he had, he nailed to a cross and said, that's the best I have, and it's for you. And so I challenge you to try and outgive me. I challenge you to try and outgive me on this. And we're stuck in a world that is hurting and that has no hope. And Jesus is the answer. So can I encourage you to come along and find out some more? This evening, come along and find out. Perhaps it's a ministry that you don't know that you could be part of, but you want to find out whether you could be part of healing on the streets. When we go out, because I think the church has a tendency to overcomplicate healing. And we looked at healing this morning in the 8:30 because it was part of the lectionary reading. And the healing of the 10 lepers, it's really exciting, this story, because it talks about a holistic understanding of healing. It's not just, oh, well, they were physically ill, Jesus healed them. It was far more complex than that. They were sociologically separated from their family. They were emotionally separated from their family. That's what leprosy did. It wasn't just a physical illness, but Jesus restored the whole. And what I see in the Gospels is when Jesus did healing, it was like going to a box of Quality Street at Christmas. You know, every time you dunk your hand in, you sort of pull out something different. And that's what Jesus's healing ministry was like. That I think Jesus, when he says, come to me like a child, it's because children get bored quickly, don't they? And I think Jesus got bored quickly. And he just liked to spice things up with variety. And so he did healing in radically different ways. This way, he said, go to the priests. They weren't healed at that point. It was only when they left Jesus were they healed. They had to go. They had to act on it. Other times, he spat on the floor, made some mud, rubbed it in people's eyes. An unusual method for healing. Not something you'd probably find in the NHS, but one that Jesus did, and it worked. Jesus was radically drawn to people, changed them radically and transformed them radically in the power of the kingdom of God. But he did it in very different ways. And so let's not overcomplicate healing. It's different. And Jesus just says, go out and heal. But give, give and give and give again. So can I encourage you, come along tonight and find out a little bit more about it. Because we want to reach out, don't we? That we have a message of hope and we want to reach out with that. So come along this evening and 7:30 and find out if you can serve in this ministry. Take healing out of the church. Healing was never supposed to be in the church. It's not, you know, it's not the remit of the church to just look after ourselves. The remit of the church is to look after our non-members. That's what William Temple, I'm looking at my wise colleague, don't try and hide behind your daughter, said the church is the only organization that's designed and meant for its non-members, not for its members. And yet the church has got so absorbed in looking after ourselves that we forget actually we exist for those that don't yet belong to this group of, you know, believers. That's a fellowship of faith. We exist for them. Which is why we're encouraging you to come to Healing on the Streets. Which is why we're encouraging you to get involved with the Just One event. Because actually, we want to take it out. We have such a great message. And we have a message of hope. Let's just think about this story this morning, shall you? What would you have done? Imagine that you are, if you're single, then that's great. If you're married, imagine you are single. You have a child. It's a boy. If you've only got girls, let me tell you something about boys. They're always hungry. So, okay, if you've only got girls, you now know boys are always hungry. Your boy is hungry because he hasn't eaten for a long time and you're the only breadwinner for him. That's the situation that you find yourself. Your larder only has sufficient ingredients for one more loaf of bread. And then a prophet comes and knocks at your door. A man of God, the local vicar, let's say, not that I would classify myself as any of those things, comes and knocks at your door and says, give me some food. And all you've got left in there is enough bread to feed your child and you for one last meal. And then after that, you'd written off all hope. Your life expectancy after that in your head was non-existent. You were expecting to die. What would you do? What would you do in that situation? I know what I'd do. Jog on. Jog on. Carry on. Thank you very much. What we see here is the prophet acting in some ways as the voice of God to a nation, and the widow representing in some ways the people of God. What she had was given to her by God in the first place, and the prophet is saying, give it to me. It's the donut story. And the widow, I imagine in her head, is there's this battle going on in her head. Why would I give it to you, Elijah? Because if I give it to you, we're already hungry. My boy's tummy has been rumbling for weeks now and it's annoying and we're going to die. And yeah, look, but that's not what she thought. She went on and made the bread. And Elijah said, if you do this, it isn't going to dry up. And of course, when you hear that, what are your natural thoughts? If you hear that, what's going through your head now? Yeah, right. That is, isn't it? I mean, but let's be honest. If someone said to you, give me your last loaf of bread, because it isn't going to run out, you're going to go, yeah, of course, that's right, yeah. Thank you very much for that. You just didn't think they're a complete mad. And this is Elijah. Now, Elijah had done some great things for God. We know that. He was also a man that struggled with mental health, I would suggest, if we read the life of Elijah now. I think most psychiatrists would say he struggled with some depression in life. And he comes to this widow and says, give me what you have and trust. If you're visiting to church today, this is your first time at Emmanuel, can I tell you, unfortunately, you came on the one week of the year where we do talk about money. We are not a church that talks about money over and over and over and over again. That's not our heart. But we talk about it once a year. And we say that everything we have, our time, our love, our possessions, our money, are gifts to us from God. And God says, I want you to use them wisely. Freely you've received, freely give. Give back. which is why we do give, which is why we're going to be collecting, not just because it's harvest, because we collect every week for Food Bank, but we're making a conscious effort today to give to Food Bank. But I'm also going to challenge you, to, and this is to the members of our church. If you are visitors today, just switch off for the next 30 seconds. If you are a member of our church here at Emmanuel, can I challenge you to think about what you give financially to the church? And to think whether or not your situation has changed since last year when we challenged you the same question. If it has, you may need to adjust your giving accordingly. It may be that your financial situation, you've changed jobs and you're getting paid less. Well, then reduce your giving if it's you know, really difficult for you to give and you're getting less, give less. But if you've had a pay rise and you've not checked your giving for the last year or 2 years, 3 years, can I challenge you to do that? It may be that for a cost of a latte and a croissant in a coffee shop, £5 roughly, you may do that four times a month, once a week. Can I challenge you to perhaps give one up and add £5 onto your giving? We have up here standing order forms, which is by far the best way for us to have money, and gift aid forms, because the Chancellor of the Exchequer, for all of his faults, gives us, if you're a taxpayer, gives us 25% back of what you give. So that's like free money to us as a church. Free money, because it costs us to run the church. It costs us quite a bit, and just to hire the hall and to keep ministries going. And the diocese, the parish share goes up every year, and that's just the nature of the beast. So can I challenge you to think about that? And if you're not regular givers and you'd like to over here, if you are regular givers, I challenge you to think about your giving, and do you need to give it up? Give more. So if you're visitors, you can now tune back in again because we've dealt with the money issue. We'll look at that rest of that story. The rest of the story, the context of which they're speaking into is really an interesting one. It's a really interesting, if you think about why the widow's got no food, it's because of a really bad leadership structure. It's really bad national leadership. The king was in complete rebellion from God, and as a consequence had led the people away from God completely. That's why they had no food, because there was famine, because of a drought. That's where we find ourselves. And this woman is then challenged by the prophet to give out of that. So she's in there as a country, as a people, they're in rebellion. And the prophet is saying, I know your heart isn't one that pursues God, because that's why we've all got no food. But I want you to give. And so actually what we see in the fact that she gives is there's a turning, isn't there? There's a turning of her heart back towards God in doing that. She trusts and gives. She trusts and gives. So there's also a mini redemption that happens here. She trusts and gives. And as a result of that, she's blessed. I ever so nearly finished a little reflection on the story of A Christmas Carol for my course I'm doing. And what I've come to see in that is that Scrooge is not just transformed spiritually. It's not a story about spiritual salvation. It's about a story about holistic salvation. The opening words are Marley is dead, starts with death, ends up with an engagement with God. They recount the words of Tiny Tim and God bless us everyone. So it's a journey from death to relationship. It's the whole story. It's a story about the complete holistic salvation and redemption. Everything about Scrooge is transformed, not just spiritually, but he starts to become radically generous. Radically generous. Why? Because he realizes that he has so much, and he can be everything. Relationally, he becomes generous. He starts to engage again with the people around him, starts to become friendly, happy type of person. He relationally changes, emotionally completely transforms. He's just generous with every aspect of his life. It's holistic salvation, and that's what the Bible talks about. Evangelicals, of which we are part of that group of people, tend to just be after souls, and we miss the point completely. Because God has asked a radical transformation of all, every part of our life. That's what unordinary generosity looks like. Radically transformed. And Nicky Gumbel, if you're listening, if you're a fan of the Bible in young years, we go through, he says, often the last thing to be saved when a person comes to Jesus is their wallet. We're going to, I invite the band back up in a minute. They're going to play some worship as we respond. And during that worship, as we sing, can we come out and generously give? If you brought gifts, come out, generously give. If you want to take standing order forms as part of the response, take them. I'm going to put them on the table here. But we're going to start to bring out our harvest offerings to say, Lord, we thank you for everything that you've given to us. And we want to give away. We want to bless others. We want to be a blessing to the community around us, to those people that just don't have. And can I tell you that, you know, the food bank is such a great organization. I'm really pleased to be associated with it. And there's such a huge need. So let's be generous. Can I ask you to stand? And the reason I wanted to do this during worship, because actually giving is an act of worship. You know, it's not, God's not got a crowbar and he's prying this stuff out of our hand. He wants us to freely, generously give as an act of worship. So that's why we're going to be worshiping the Lord in song and coming forward. And there'll be Lou and a few of us just helping to coordinate, sticking stuff on this table over here. And then all of that's going to go to the food bank. So let's worship God now. Thank you for your amazing generosity, and we will ensure that all of that gets to the food bank at Chichester, and that'll be used to bless many people in the Chichester and surrounding areas. We're going to be closing the service now. There's going to be tea and coffee at the back. There's going to be prayer ministry. If you'd like prayer for anything, if you are like one of those lepers that you need prayer for healing for stuff, come out, come forward. We want to pray for you. If you want God to completely, to help you, just letting go of everything, surrendering everything to him, every part of your life, you know, freely you've received, freely give everything, then come out. We'd love to be praying for you. As a reminder, this Wednesday is the ladies' curry night. If you're interested in going that, go and see either Anita or come and see me afterwards, and I'll make sure you and put in touch with Anita at the end. But let's remain standing for the blessing. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the love of God and of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the blessing of God Almighty, who is Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen. So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Amen. So it's going to be prayer ministry over this side, tea and coffee at the back. Have a great week.